Maria, are you the one that needs the screen sharing privileges?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay, good
Thank
deal.
you.
Okay, committee, thank you. I'm going to call us back in from recess, and we have Maria and Colleen with us from Baker Tilly to give us a report on the completion of one of their projects. So I will turn the floor over to you, Ms. Stroth.
Great, thank you. And let me just get the PowerPoint going here. How does that look?
Looks beautiful. Thank you.
Amazing, thank you. And Colleen will get us started.
Yeah, I'll get us started. Well, thank you all so much for having us. So we're going to just do an overview of what we've been doing with OFPR for the nation, and then go into our project status update, talk a little bit about next steps and get your feedback. So Maria, if you could go to the next slide. And I guess I should just say, if we haven't met, so I'm Colleen Rosillis. I'm a managing principal at Baker Tilly, formerly Moss Adams. I've been working with the nation since, I think, 2022, and we have been fulfilling the role of OFPR, and I oversee, provide quality assurance. I oversee all of the work that we do. And then Maria is a senior manager on our team. She specializes in performance audits and enterprise risk. And so she worked on the risk assessment, and she's done quite a bit of work for you all as well. So getting that out of the way. So we fulfill the role of the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review. And the goal of this office is to conduct audits that really provide Congress and then your nation's citizens with the assurance that things are operating efficiently and effectively, and that we're using tribal funds in the most responsible way. And so we have broad authority to look across tribal government and enterprises to make sure that that work is occurring. On the next slide, we have just a little bit of an overview. So we were engaged to fulfill in an outsourced role. And so we have a couple of things that we have to do as part of that. The first is to develop an annual audit plan, to have a documented performance audit protocol, which we did develop a couple years ago in collaboration with the committee, as well as your legal representation and the treasurer and chief's offices. We maintain an audit staff. We keep you updated, which is why we're here today. And then as we are doing our work, we look into potential issues related to fraud or wrongdoing, abuse of power, misuse of funds, and that that can be reported up accordingly. So Maria is going to talk a little bit more about the details of our program and give you a status update.
Awesome. Thank you, Colleen. So I'll speak a little bit about the purpose and philosophy of the internal audit program. And then, as Colleen mentioned, I'll share the status update of our current projects and discuss next steps. So for an internal audit program, really what we're doing here is providing independent and objective assurance and consulting services. Ultimately, our main goal is to add value and produce meaningful recommendations that can support the tribe in understanding and accomplishing its objectives. So we take a risk-based approach to thinking about what audits we engage in, and then also with the specific projects we work on, we're looking at what are those highest risk areas and how can we provide meaningful and important recommendations to help improve operations. These are some of the core elements of our philosophy. So as internal auditors, it's really important that our work is both objective and independent. And so we want to be free from any conditions that could threaten our ability to carry out our responsibilities in an unbiased manner. So we're thinking about things like, do we have quality evidence to support the findings that we have? And is that evidence sufficient and appropriate to support the findings? We also want to be really collaborative. So throughout our projects, we are seeking input and feedback from management, from staff, from stakeholders. We want to understand the context behind what we are finding and what we are seeing so that we can make sure, again, that our recommendations make sense and are feasible. We also want to be constructive, and this sort of relates to what I was saying around collaboration. Ultimately, we want to make sure that the recommendations we make Support operations really help management continuously improve and can help reduce risks. That's really our goal here. We all work with tribal governments, with governments and public sector agencies, and that really is what gets us up every day, is, you know, really helping to organizations improve and reduce their risks. So that's a really important piece of the work that we do. And then we want to be comprehensive. And so we are looking across the tribal government. Colleen mentioned our scope includes tribal government operations as well as your enterprises. And we want to really understand and have a holistic view of what the risks are, where the highest risks are, and where we can dig in to help improve performance and strengthen operations. This is an overview of the different types of projects that we do. So Colleen mentioned in 2023, we did an organization-wide risk assessment to really set the foundation for the first few years of our program in our role as fulfilling the OFPR function. So what that organization-wide risk assessment did was it looked across the tribal government operations and identified all of the various risks that are facing operations and the ability to achieve your objectives and serve your community the way that you would like to. We rated those risks from highest to lowest and produced a report that sort of shared what those different risks are, as well as some risk mitigation strategies for management to address those risks. We also use that risk assessment to inform the internal audit program. So as I talk through the next several slides that share the status of the current projects we have, those projects came out of this risk assessment that we conducted. So there's some of the higher risk areas for the nation. And again, our goal is to sort of take a look at those and understand how to help reduce risks in those areas. And then we'll use this risk assessment to inform the next couple of years of the audit plan. And we typically conduct a new risk assessment every 3 or so years so that we can make sure that our understanding of risks is up to date and current based on sort of current operations and needs. Those next three sections, internal audits, internal control reviews, and performance audits, those are the other types of projects that we engage in under this work. They're similar in that we are trying to, again, provide meaningful recommendations that can help improve operations. To speak a little bit to the differences, with a performance audit, we're following government auditing standards known as GAGAs, and those are really based on making sure that we have sufficient and appropriate evidence against established criteria. So you'll often see performance audits in looking at specific programs, for example, like a Head Start program, a welfare program, things like that, and thinking about how effective is this program in meeting the needs of your community. We might look at things like compliance and internal controls as well, but again, ultimately, we want to be able to provide recommendations for improvement. An internal controls review is a little bit different because we're going to dig into specific internal controls and whether or not those controls are designed effectively, implemented effectively, and whether or not they're working in practice to be able to mitigate risk. So we might look at, for example, internal controls around a payroll process, around accounting and finance functions, things like that in that sort of review. What's not in scope, which I think is important to sort of clarify and is good information, is your external or your financial audit engagements. Those are conducted separately by your external auditors, and they are focused on the accuracy and veracity of your financial statements. So we do keep the internal audit and the external audit function separately as a best practice, which helps just prevent conflicts of interest and strengthen overall governance and accountability for the tribe. We, of course, do make sure that we have an understanding of what the external auditors are finding and the recommendations they are making, because that's helpful for us to understand in our work in helping the tribe reduce risks. But I do want to just note that those audits are separate from this scope of work. Okay, so I will give a little overview of the different projects that we have underway right now. There are quite a few, which is exciting. So this is the one we have completed. We have supported the nation in setting up a fraud, waste, and abuse program. There were elements of this program in place, but we really wanted to help the nation pull those elements together and formalize them. So that meant developing policies and procedures, developing training, and then implementing and sharing that training with employees and others to support the fraud, waste, and abuse program. Ultimately, this program is designed to help prevent, detect, and respond to fraud, waste, and abuse, and it's really important to the control environment at the nation. So we completed this project in August and delivered the final training then. The rest of the projects I'll speak to are in progress or ongoing. So we're currently conducting a review of the accounting and finance functions. When we did the enterprise risk assessment, we identified this as one of the highest risk areas for the tribe. There are challenges with capacity and staffing in these areas, as well as manual processes that just need to be streamlined, and challenges with technology not being well integrated and just not being as effective and efficient as possible. So in an enterprise risk assessment, we do an organization-wide risk assessment, excuse me, we do a really high level view. And then when we do an internal audit, we get to dig a little bit deeper. So we're looking into those different areas. Ultimately, we want to be able to help streamline operations and just improve financial management at the tribe. We have completed the draft report and shared that with management and are currently waiting for feedback from management. This one has taken some time. I do want to note that we are hoping as we move forward to really continue to improve sort of just collaboration with management to make sure that we can get timely responses on our reports and be able to make sure that the work that we're doing is as efficient and effective as possible. The next assessment on the list is a capital program best practice assessment. So really here, what we're doing is assessing the current state of the nation's capital planning and management activities and helping to identify opportunities for improvement. We want to be able to think about how well is the capital program, capital project program functioning? Are there any gaps in the program, any opportunities for improvement, and how can we overall help enhance efficiency? We have completed interviews and initial document review for this project and are currently drafting the report. And once we have that draft together, we'll be meeting with management to review it, again, to make sure that we have all of the context that we need to finalize the report and to make sure that the recommendations are feasible and make sense. We're also working on construction contract monitoring. This is a really exciting and great opportunity for the tribe. What we do in a project like this is really take a look at construction project costs. We take a look at a sample of contracts, and we're looking at whether or not costs are accurate, justified, assigned correctly. And ultimately, this kind of work can help make sure the organization is protected from overspending or misallocation of funds or challenges like that that can come up with these really large budgeted capital projects. So we want to take a look, identify any risks, and help make recommendations to reduce any risk of financial errors or fraud. We're currently doing testing for this one, looking at those contracts and doing that testing. And so once we get that testing complete, we'll review our results with management for any input before we move forward with the report. We're also doing a grants management internal audit. In this one, we're looking at sort of the entirety of the grants management process. So from applications to review, to the administration of grants and reporting. Ultimately, we want to help make sure that there are strong controls in place to make sure that there's accuracy in reporting, to make sure that the tribe's grant dollars are safeguarded, and just to ensure accountability and support the ability to remain compliant with any grant requirements. This one is in the very, very, very early stages. So we're currently just in the process of getting a kickoff call scheduled, and we hope to make good progress on this one moving forward. This is the last one in our current program. This project is ongoing and would be an ongoing project for the duration of our program and our future programs as well. So what we did this year was we did an inventory of all of the prior internal and external audit recommendations that have been made to the nation, both in tribal government operations as well as in your enterprises, and put all of that information together into a spreadsheet that allows easy tracking of what all those recommendations are and what the status of them is. So whether they've been implemented, whether they are in progress, and that allows the nation to sort of see what the status of those is. So far this year, we were able to validate 20 recommendations, which is a great start for the first year of this program. And we have 79 open recommendations. And so this will just be ongoing. As recommendations are completed, we receive requests and receive documentation so that we can validate whenever management thinks that recommendations are complete. Again, we receive documentation so that we can validate that. And then if we agree, we are able to validate the recommendation and report it as completed. So we will continue to do this on an ongoing basis. The last couple of slides here are just about our next steps for sustaining OFPR moving forward. I would say over the last few years that we've been working with the nation, we've gotten a lot of things moving really successfully with management and with the tribe, and we're really excited about where we are now. What we would love to do moving forward is really institutionalize the OFPR function in operations. So we really want folks to sort of think about OFPR when we're thinking about risks that are coming up, or how can we improve operations, and really sort of seeing and understanding the value that we can provide to the tribe. And these are some of the ways that we propose helping to institutionalize the function. One is that we would love to get regularly scheduled quarterly meetings on the calendar with you all. So that is an opportunity for us to come in, share where we are with our current work, what's been completed. We'll present results to you of complete projects, and we'll be able to share any other sort of questions, concerns, and be able to have that discussion with you all. This is a really great way to add some structure and accountability to the program, and definitely a recommendation for moving forward. We'd also like to identify key staff members who can attend and support our biweekly status calls. Right now, the second speaker is attending those, which has been incredibly helpful in terms of keeping things moving forward. Typically, we'd also like to see key members of staff. Often, this can be maybe someone from the chief's office or the cabinet secretaries who can come and help just support making sure work is moving forward. We can talk through the status of our projects, any challenges we're facing, any questions or concerns from either side, and just make sure again that things are moving forward. On these last two bullets, as really thinking about moving forward with future year planning and programming, we would really love to align the OFPR program and budget with the nation's fiscal year. So that, for example, we're just starting the new fiscal year 26. In an ideal world, we would have the fiscal year 26 audit program launching right now. So we'd have the plan approved and we'd be moving forward with those audit programs. We have been just a little bit off schedule just based on sort of timing of when the program started and getting things up and running. And what we would love to do is align a little bit better. So to get us there, we would love to start planning for the next OFPR program in early 2026. So what that could look like is we can take a look at the risk assessment. We have input from management, any input you may have, and we would put together a draft program, make sure that gets finalized and approved. And then we would suggest an on-site work session just as an opportunity for us to connect with key staff members in person, get to know folks who would be involved in upcoming work, and really set those projects up for success in terms of making sure they're timely and effective moving forward. So that concludes the presentation that we have. Colleen, did you want to add anything on that?
Nope, just
okay,
looking forward to your
perfect.
questions.
Awesome. Any questions from folks?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, I like your last screen moving forward, but I want to go backward into your presentation. Just because I have questions. Fraud, waste, and abuse program, you said that that was completed?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Can you talk to me about what exactly that is? What has been completed?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll fill in what I know, and then Colleen, feel free to add anything else, as I know Tammy on our team led that project. So we developed policies and procedures for the fraud, waste, and abuse program for the nation. So that's really the importance there, is to establish what are the different roles and responsibilities in a fraud, waste, and abuse program. What is the process for reporting concerns with fraud, waste, and abuse? And then how does that get responded to and reported on? Those are the types of things in a policy and procedure document. And then also training. So providing training, developing that training and providing that so that folks understand what all those different policies and procedures are moving forward.
Okay.
And it's not enough to just have a hotline to report, you know, suspicions concerns, we have to have a policy in place that also helps us to understand what are the roles and responsibilities between everyone in that process to help maintain confidentiality, to make sure that we're doing the right things when we're taking the steps to investigate. So for example, we often get calls that are really related to personnel issues. And so there's a designation of roles and responsibilities between legal, HR, and then an OFPR. And in general, the role of our team is to just triage, to say, where should these go? And then if it's necessary to conduct an investigation, then we involve legal, and we would involve members of this committee in executive session on a need to know basis.
May I continue? So then the fraud, waste, and abuse program hotline calls originates with you, that the first initial contact would be with Moss Adams or Baker Tilly.
It's a third party contract that the nation engages in that actually takes the calls, and they have a call center and they have a website. It's very low cost. And then we receive that. There's a portal where we receive the reports and then we can follow up. So that way, regardless of who sits in OFPR, you always have that function, and it's always done by the, you know, sort of the professionals who can take it and answer the right kind of questions.
So would you be the appropriate people to tell us how often that this fraud, waste, and abuse program is utilized by our employees, constituents? Is there a generic type of report? Because we really don't want to know names. We want to keep the identities, of course, protected. But just a report on a high level of how this is being utilized. And I would also like to know, because I've always heard it, and I was at the nation since 2012, was not here for 4 years, and then back in 24. But always I had heard that that program was pretty broke down and employees didn't feel safe using that. So, you know, I'd like to hear about what the face of that looks like today. If our employees or the people that use it indeed feel protected and safe enough to use this program. And I realize it's a new completion, so maybe you don't have enough data yet, but can you speak to that, please?
Yeah, of course. So we don't have the data at this moment, but what we would like to do and what we typically do is provide a quarterly update. We could provide a monthly update if you'd like. That's just a report, very high level of how many were received, what category they were, and then whether they're open or they have been closed. So if something comes in, it's related to HR, it really is for HR to investigate and deal with, then we will say it was referred to HR and it's closed, right? And so those types of things. Sometimes people also, you know, get the number and they report that their credit card was stolen or an issue with a local business, like things that we can't deal with, right? And so those will also show up in the report, but then you'll be able to see over time what that looks like. So at our next update, we'll definitely provide that to you all.
So thank you. Now that I know that there's going to be a quarterly report on that, I think that's ample, and I'll be looking forward to seeing that.
Great.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
So can we talk about the accounting and finance operational review? I think that was not complete yet. Is it substantially completed? And maybe you said the report is out for comment to, who would that be, the Treasury? Is that who that report is out for comment?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It is substantially complete. We have drafted the report. And so at this point, we're just waiting for feedback on that report to be able to finalize it.
And so at what point did those reports come to this committee or to the body of Congress? I'm curious to know how that's set up.
Yeah, great question. So typically what we would do is once we have finalized the report, so we've heard any feedback from management, we'll incorporate that, finalize the report, and then we would present it at the quarterly meetings that we have with you all. So if we can get those on the calendar, then that would be the goal, is whatever reports have been completed in that last quarter, we would be able to present the results to you all.
Thank you. And just because I am unfamiliar, so is this the way that you've reported to Congress always, or are we looking at a new reporting system, for lack of better terms?
This is how we have always reported. We have not had many deliverables in the past. And so we've kind of brought them to the committee as they've been complete. But at this point, we have enough that and enough going on that now we can establish a regular cadence and provide regular status reports, as well as give you that the detailed reports on a regular basis, which is great.
I love that.
Okay. I would say the same thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay. I've been on CA since I got on Congress, and I would say it is a desired rhythm that they would have liked to have stepped into from the get-go, but they were just not able to, and that wasn't by any fault of this body or our scheduling of them or our desire to get reports from them. But I do think it's a really valuable rhythm for us to step into, and it's exciting that we do have content that they can deliver when we schedule these future meetings. So I would say that it was a rhythm we wanted to be in. So it would not have been a new rhythm for them as far as delivery, but it kind of is because of our past experiences. So, but I think we're due the chance to get on a regular basis reports from them. It's wonderful. Congressman Maker?
You know, we just completed our main budget session of the Congress. We just finished today, adjourned. Ma'am? Now, do you or will you in the future be looking at legislation appropriations that we have passed out that maybe looking might need further examination, you might say? Would you be looking at that, or I mean, would you like? I'm sure I don't think you followed along with us during this past 25 days, right? You have or have not?
No, what we can do, if the committee is interested, is if you look at appropriations, kind of programmatic things, or you want to see sources and uses of funds, so were the dollars spent in accordance with what we wanted, that's absolutely within our purview. And so that's something that we could do in terms of developing our plan. Is there something specific you want us to look at, or do you want us to look at, you know, every year we could look at the budget and how it was actually expended? That's certainly the type of analysis we could do. You have a big budget, so I would suggest maybe certain chunks instead of doing the whole thing, but we certainly could.
Yeah, well, I mean, just something that was kind of jumps out at you, like something that increased, you know, quite a bit substantially, mm-hmm. like 50%, 100%, whatever. Something like that comes through this body. I mean, as the OFPR, I think in the past when it was in-house, we had people that were more involved, I think. I'm not saying you aren't or as part of your job, but to have a look at some of the appropriations that go through here. I just wonder if that was part of your focus, or just do your quarterly reports or whatever, or end of year, you know, however you do it. But I don't know if you can maybe in the future follow along with this as we go through our main budget process. Thank you.
Yeah, if next year the committee is interested, as Maria was saying, we, you know, putting together the plan for next year, that's certainly something that we'd be happy to discuss and support if you all are interested.
I think that kind of goes hand in hand a bit with our updated job description of our budget analyst, because we have asked that role to step into a little bit more of a functional hands-on role as far as connecting with OFPR. And so I think developing that relationship when we bring that staff member on I think that will be important for that person to help us coordinate through those things. Because a budget analyst, you know, speaking to what Congressman Maker just said, the budget analyst obviously would be in our budgets. And so they could help walk through those things and identify areas that need to be looked at possibly, or just would be areas of interest. I don't mean need to be looked at in a negative manner, but just areas of interest. Is this, are we spending in a manner that is industry standard, appropriate? Maybe it's not enough. I think we'll probably see that a little bit in our, maybe the capital programs and some of our structures too, when we do SWOT analysis as well. We'll get some recommendations on our property management and how we're managing our capital assets too. So I think, yeah, it would be nice to see going forward a future budget analyst stepping into that role to be able to have some of those financial communication conversations about our budget areas and make sure that we're doing the best we can in those spaces. Congresswoman Whitehorn, did you have something else?
Yes, I was going to skip into a different category about the construction contract. I think you made mention of that. Part of the is that just review of the contracts, or are you going to reconcile the work done to the contracts?
It is to reconcile work invoices to the contracts. So conducting testing of specific invoices and anything that is related to the contracts to make sure that it is in alignment with contract terms.
Okay, and maybe the deliverables we get through those contracts will
have
an actual eye on what the deliverable was. Is that part of that?
Okay. Was it in scope? Is it what was agreed to? Or were there change orders, things like that? That is, yes.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would echo that. I'm excited about that as well, especially in a season where we still have growth from appropriations, growth happening from appropriations made quite some time ago. So we're still seeing this kind of a boom, a construction boom, really. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see that as well, see how our dollars worked well for us. I had another question for you, and I don't remember what it was. Yeah, so committee, I think one of the things that I would encourage us to consider is what this looks like going forward, because this committee had made a motion to put out an RFP for, because Moss Adams had, we have had a contract with them for 3 years, and then we extended it to this project period that we're working on right now. And so we're in a place where we have an RFP that's about to be put out that just got finalized, like a scope of work and stuff that got finalized for our procurement to put out for us. But I think the part that's important for us to consider is what they have just presented to us about where they want to go for the future and future conversations that they want to have and what we want to see come out of OFPR going forward, and then how they can partner with us in seeing that through. So I am excited for the future of OFPR and this committee and our executive members, our treasurer. The level of cooperation that we have is huge. It's vital. Casey and his office have been really helpful in the last couple of weeks in getting content for them from that office. And so I'm really grateful for the place that we're at with OFPR and how everyone is working together to see that this gets out and does good for us. So I want this committee to just be thinking about like what we just talked about, what Congressman Maker brought up, and these construction things and where we want them to go in the future for us. And so, yeah, I just want us to be mindful of those and think about those things for projects and stuff moving forward too. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
So one of the things that I'd like to see, and I think was mentioned in the moving forward slide, was to get our contract reconciled to our fiscal year. I think that's important so we know when their scope of work ends and when the new contract portion of the contract begins. So I don't know how we'll do that, if it's through the new contract, if once it's been put out to bid. So I don't know, how long are we engaged right now? I can't recall.
Is it through the end of January or February, ladies? I can't remember.
I think it's February. That's what, yeah, I
thought. The end of February. Okay.
Yes.
So I am excited about getting, was it a monthly meeting that you wanted to do? Was that what was on that slide? Can we look at that
quarterly,
slide?
Quarterly, I believe, about is what their recommendation was. Yes.
A quarterly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can we get back to that slide and let me see what it says?
Yes. There we go.
Quarterly meetings, staff members, and yeah, like Congresswoman, or like Second Speaker Redcorn said, we've changed the job description of our budget analyst to include more of a leading role in keeping the ball rolling on this contract and the projects going. And I think that's really going to play really well into the next steps.
Mr. Frazier was always very interested in it, and he would be engaged in this if we had asked, when we did ask him to be. But I think it sort of fell to him in a default manner rather than an intentional manner.
Right.
And so that's where the job description has a little bit more meat to it now, and it can stand firm behind the person that we ask to step into that role. They'll have a much more engaged role and expectation and level of involvement. And it's not that Mr. Frazier wouldn't have done that. I just don't think that we enabled him well enough to step into the role in the way that we envisioned it. So this person going forward, whoever that person may be, the job description is much more robust, and that will be another key staff member that can, you know, help maintain these relationships. And I think that's key for the person, and I'm speaking to the committee too when I say this. I think it's key for that person to be able to maintain not just that relationship with Moss Adams or Baker Tilly, excuse me, but with our key staff members up on the Hill, right, with executive that are going to be involved in this also. So for them to be able to keep those bridges flowing and keep movement going, I think will also be really vital to us too.
Right. So
just so you all know what's coming when we have a new budget analyst. When, the word is when, not if, when we have a new budget analyst in place, I'm going to speak it into existence, but when we do have that person in that role, just so you all kind of know where our heads are with the expectation on it.
Right. So
that's great.
I'm okay with this presentation, and I don't know if we want to make decisions today about when quarterly meetings would be best, or if we want to, you know, look at that down the road. Right now, you know, how do you want to proceed?
I think so if we're looking at quarters, right now we'd be looking at end of December, beginning of January to get the next report. But my thought then went to, if they have a finalized project report with Treasury right now that they're just waiting on feedback for, or feedback on, in order to like give an actual full report, I wonder if there would be a need to do that before the next committee, or not committee, quarterly report. I don't know what your time frame is on expecting feedback from the nation and then turning that around. So if we needed to schedule something in between now and the next quarter, I'm willing to do that too, and interested in doing so, I guess, is my statement.
I have a couple of recommendations. One is, we don't have to count this meeting as, you know, kind of cute, you know, first quarter, awesome, on this cadence, although it is nice that it kind of aligns with fiscal year, right?
Oh, true.
But what we probably want to do is, when we've got our next report complete, then we can come back and present on the fraud, waste, and abuse program. We can give more of a detail around that one, and then the next report, and then maybe we could start the quarterly cadence from there. So that way you've got the full status report, we can provide the update on hotline statistics, and then we'll figure out the timing from there.
That would be great. I think that would be wonderful.
Thanks. That sounds good.
Okay.
I don't have anything else.
Congressman Maker?
I just have one more quick question. Now, I know we've asked your company this before, but remind me, are you also working with other tribal governments? And do you have the same recommendations towards like a tribal government at all, like quarterly meetings? Thank you.
Yep. Go ahead, Colleen.
Yeah. Oh, no, we do this work co-sourced or outsourced basis with both tribal government and then with cities and counties. So we have regular kind of status reports that we give. It's typically quarterly. Some of our clients, they do monthly if they have a larger program. We also are very happy to do reporting on an ad hoc basis as we need to. But one thing that we really think would help with systematizing and helping to establish OFPR as a consistent part of your nation's government is to give these more regular updates, have things posted online, have it just be expected as opposed to, oh, something from OFPR popped up. So at a minimum, we would like that quarterly cadence, and then we can always add more based on the, you know, the committee and Congress's discretion.
Good deal. Anything else, committee?
I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your presentation.
And she did email it to Jordan and myself, and I will make sure that that gets sent to the committee and, well, and Congress. The whole of Congress can have it.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my question, and I apologize, I was kind of in and out of reception there, so I may have missed it, but my question is really, what does the time frame look like for the deliverable on the accounting audit? Because what I would like to have in place from a committee perspective is a potential contract renewal or whoever's going to pick up the ball in place before we start scheduling quarterly meetings into December. So kind of twofold, one to the committee of where does that fall in our timeline, but secondary, what is the anticipated time back for the audits that are currently in place?
Our goal is to have everything that we presented to you complete by that end of February contract expiration date so that we don't have any more contract challenges. The last thing we want to do is create any procurement issues. So our goal is to have everything done by then. And I would say almost everything is on track to actually be done by the end of the calendar year, with the exception of that grant project, which is going to take a little bit longer and just got kicked off recently. Maria, I don't know if you have any other timing thoughts.
I wonder why it got so quiet.
Yep, that's exactly what I would say too.
Congressman Potts, was that sufficient? And I don't disagree. I would also like to have a new contract in place also, so we have more of a head, wrap our minds around kind of where we're going before, long before February. I'd like to have it done before the calendar year as well ends. I don't see an issue with doing so. So yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So if you could find out for us how long the procurement process here is going to take on our end, to how long it's going to stay open, and then the next steps, the processing after the bids or bidding periods close, kind of give us an idea.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it stays up for 30 days, much like our job postings.
Right.
And then we process them from there. But I'll check on that.
Okay. And I'm going to just request from the initial get-go that people from this committee are able to help vet the contracts that come in, the proposals that come in.
Ms. Claire is aware of that, yeah.
Good deal.
All right, committee, okay. Anything further? All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us today and keeping us up to date on where we are. We appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Oh, Maria, do you mind passing the host back over?
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, it'll end our meeting real quick when you hang
oh,
up.
Oh, no. Okay.
I know.
Yes,
we've done that before, so you wouldn't be the first.
What do I press to do that? Is there any guidance on that? Let's see.
I think if you... Is it under the share section?
Okay, let's see, share.
Maria, next to legislative branch, there's those three little dots. Click on those three dots and then it'll say like share or
under participants. Post. You should be able to, when you pull up the participants, legislative branch should be one.
Okay, great. I see that. Make host. Thank you for the guidance there. I don't use Zoom very often. So, okay. Did that work?
Yes, it says you are the host now. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Perfect. Take care.
Thank you so much. Y'all take care.
Bye.
Okay, committee. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is our personnel discussion. Two things. I have an executive session written in on here for the purposes of discussing performance reviews and pay and such. But also, I was curious to know if the committee would be interested in taking a brief recess, A, to get us ready to do so, and B, just to have a quick recess. Thank you. Let's recess for 5 minutes. So motion to recess until 2:10.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. Thank you. Seeing none, we'll be back at 2:10, and Congressman Potts is gone. Okay. We'll be back at 2:10.